Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, This is Our Time of Deliverance, from the Chronicles of Exodus.
Isaiah chapter 58, when you have the word, amen, say I have the word. All right, Isaiah 58, amen. Let's read it together, and then I'll try my best not to be all day long. Isaiah 58 in verse number 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? And then he tells you what that fast should do. To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo heavy burdens. Anybody in here today with heavy burdens? He says, to undo heavy burdens. And to let the oppressed go free. And to break every yoke. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? And that verse alone is enough to dance, shout, holler real loud about. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. And listen what it says. And to break every yoke. If we continually yoke, at some point it becomes choice. If we are continually yoked to something from the past, at some point it becomes choice. Because there is an anointing in our Christ that no yoke can withstand. There is an anointing in our Christ that I don't care how long it's been in our family. When that anointing manifests, that yoke has to go. Somebody say real loud, that yoke has to go. And I believe there's a people that are finding the fast that God has chosen. Father, thank you for the word that you've spoken into my heart, God. You told me to say it plainly. You told me to say it concisely. You told me to say it exactly as you said it, God. Thank you for this moment that you brought us to, God. No looking back. Moving forward, Lord. Thank you for what you've done now, God, in our lives, oh God. Everything that tried to shackle us, everything to bring us into being ensnared, you've broken the power of it, God. And we want to say thank you, Lord. We could not have brought ourselves to this place, Lord. We could not have brought ourselves to this place, but it was your anointing, God. It was your principles. It was your truth. It was your way. So now, Father, for these next few minutes, God, give me articulation of speech. Let me say exactly what you said. Give us power to receive it. And don't let us be distracted, God. Your elder prayed this morning, God, to let us put up a do not disturb sign when we come to moments like this, God. Let us put up a do not disturb sign so we can hear and we can, oh God, receive everything that you have for us. You have so much for us, God. And now as wide receiver, God, we're going to gladly receive it. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said amen and amen. For a few moments, I want to talk about, is this the fast that God has chosen? Is this the fast that God has chosen? Minstrels, you guys can be released, all right? Don't go too far, though, because I'm going to be done in 15, 20 minutes. I thought the video was going to help me for 9 minutes, but I don't have it, but that's okay, all right? Is this the fast that God has chosen? You're going to have to answer that individually, all right? I'm going to give you some things corporately that God has said, but the truth of the matter is, when we go on fast, when we call to sacred times with God, when we appear to the temple 3 times a year, as the male in the Old Testament had to do, everything is predicated on what we put in it. What we put in it has everything to do with what we get out of it. That doesn't just work with spiritual principles, but that affects life principles as well. I know we like to play the blame game and say what is at fault for us not being and doing, but the truth of the matter is half effort in gets half productivity out. You don't got to say amen. I know it's right anyhow. right? Our fasting is for the purpose of physical, mental, and spiritual strengthening. Our fasting is for the purpose of physical and mental and spiritual strengthening. It is the posture used to seek God first. All right. In Matthew, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then all of these things shall be added unto you. All right. Fasting posture us that we decrease, that he might increase. If you're ever having a problem of finding out is the kingdom first, call a 1 or 2 day of fast, and you'll find out how much physical, spiritual, and mental rebellion exists in this mortal body. I'm going to say that again. If you want to really find out if the kingdom of God is first, give yourself a couple of days fasting, because more than likely by 12 noon you're going to need a cracker. You're going to need a snack, because your physicality is telling you you don't need to do this. All right. So if you ever want to know for sure is the kingdom of God first, then give yourself a couple of days fasting and you will find out with clarity. I got that. I do too much. And before you know it, you'll be like Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. Fasting is for the purpose of putting God first. I want everybody to understand in the sound of my voice, I didn't come to preach about that, but God's not going to be anything but first. And I didn't come to preach about that. God, it does not be second and third and fourth. God said, I'm first. I am the Lord thy God only, or I'll judge all the other gods that are in your life. So fasting is for the purpose of making God first. I don't know about anybody else, but I want God to be first. Does anybody want God to be first? I want God to be first. If we don't really believe that fasting prospers us spiritually, mentally, and physically, then when you get a time, read Daniel chapter number 1, verse 8 through 21. In Daniel chapter number 1, and I don't want to preach that long today, and I really don't want to preach, I just want to share with you. But in Daniel chapter number 1, verse 8 through 21, there's an account that the king is giving them a certain diet and food and strong drink, and Daniel decides that for himself and his buddies, we're going to do the very opposite. We're going to do the very opposite. Y'all better please hear me. In the condition of this world, every now and then, you better decide that you're going to do the opposite. Okay, I don't have time. But Daniel and his fellows, everybody else is saying, let's go this way. And Daniel and his buddies, amen, they decide we're going to go that way. I don't know about anybody else, but I'll make a clarion call. I don't care who going this way. I'm going that way. And Daniel decide that him and his buddies, we're not going to eat that, and we're going to just eat some pulp, and we're going to just drink a little bit of water. And the Bible says that after 10 days, Daniel and his friends were 10 times wiser than the astrologers, than the magicians, than everybody in the king's camp. If you don't believe fasting, praying works, give it a try. Don't commentate about something you ain't doing. I ain't come to preach that long. But in Daniel chapter number 1, Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego, they are 10 times. If there was ever a time that the people of God now ought to be standing up being 10 times better, is right now. You ought to go to your job and be 10 times better. Our marriages ought to be 10 times better. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. Because we got a holy God that sits on a holy hill, and if he be for us. But the problem is we're so connected to this world. We're so following gurus and people that have no idea of what the biblical text says, and we've now sold out to follow what they're saying, and we have not discovered that they're leading us as blinders leading the blind. And the Bible says if the blind lead the blind, then they will fall in the ditch. I'm sticking with the archaic book called the Bible. I'm sticking with principles called fasting and praying, because in Daniel chapter number 1, they become 10 times wiser. Can I ask y'all a question? What if you showed up at your home this afternoon and your wife said you were 10 times wiser? You'd have a happy week. And you got to be married to understand what I'm talking about now. What if y'all showed up to work tomorrow and your supervisor said you're 10 times wiser? You couldn't stop getting promoted. Okay, y'all ain't saying that, but I'm kidding. The problem is we've locked into a system that's making, okay, I don't want to throw stones here. We're locking into a system that's dumbing us down and bringing us into their condition. Whereas we ought to be smarter and wiser. And when we show up on Monday, they ought to be asking, where did you get all that strength from? But because we've tied into their system, we're getting their results. And God is saying, unplug. God is saying, disconnect. God is saying, come to me with your fasting and your prayer, and then I'll hear your prayer. They were 10 times wiser. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 through 21. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor again, because they didn't hear what I was saying. Tell them again, fasting works, fasting works. Don't let anybody talk you out of anything that the Bible said is good. I will, thank you. Amen. I think that side of the church finally woke up. Don't let anybody talk you out of anything that the Bible said is good. Okay, I think this church, part of the church, is waking up. I'm going to say it one more time, and then I got to move. Don't let anybody talk you out of anything that the Bible said is good. Because the Bible has a history of standing the test of time. The grass withers. We are as a blade of grass withering daily. So I'm not going to let something withering daily convince me something that has lasted from everlasting to everlasting. I'm sticky with the word. In Daniel chapter 1, we find out that fasting work. It is really a time now that we must be the ones that are 10 times wiser, 10 times stronger, and 10 times better in everything we do when it comes to life. We ought to be creating businesses. Baltimore City ought to be calling us, asking us what to do. Y'all didn't say nothing to me. Baltimore City, I'm talking about Amos 3 and 7, people of the Most High God. Baltimore City or wherever city we live in, they ought to be asking us. Somebody ought to be seeking us, asking us for answers. Hear what I'm going to say here. Because what we believing and what we're doing is working so well for us. God. And hold on, you're going to get me out of here in a few minutes. I'm going to say that one more time. Somebody ought to be seeking out, answering us, looking at us, how we do things, and it's working so much. They ought to be looking for us saying, wow, what is it that you're doing? But because we've been convinced that biblical principles about like fasting really don't work and it ain't for modern times, we're getting common results. And we are in a moment that God wants to give us uncommon. The word that I'm using right now is uncanny, because when you go to the word uncanny, it means bringing in a supernatural effect. We ought to be getting uncanny results. Come a little bit closer now and hold it. I'm getting ready to doxology because I'm almost done. We ought to be asking ourselves, how did we do that? God. Three things that are takeaways from this fast. Three things, and I promise y'all I'm done. I'm serious, hold on. Get ready to doxology. Number one, we ought to clearly articulate and live out the God-assigned purpose for our lives. We ought to clearly articulate and live out the God-assigned purpose for our lives. What are you here for? Y'all come a little bit closer. You too old to be trying to figure life out. And I'm talking about y'all past 25. Jesus stood at 12 and looked at his mom and dad and he said, don't y'all understand this thing? I got to be about my father's business. And you how old trying to still figure it out? We ought to now be clearly articulating and living out what we're here for. I got something to do so I can't be distracted. I got something to do so I can't go way over there because that ain't what I'm supposed to be doing. So number one, amen, come on, last video. Number one, we ought to clearly articulate and live out God's assigned purpose for our lives. Remaining determined to be locked in and totally focused even when the purpose seemed overwhelming. All right? Number one, and I wish you was here for Bible study because Deacon taught about overwhelmed by purpose. All right? So number one, articulate and go to work tomorrow on purpose saying, this is what I'm here for. I wish I had a little bit more time. When devils show up, ain't no more running. This is what I'm here for. Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay, I'm glad one person got it. I'm talking about when devils show up in our families, in our home, we ought not be running. We ought not be calling the pastor. We ought not to be doing anything but going to get our oil and saying, that's what I'm here for. And for this purpose was the Son of Man born, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I thought you wanted to be like Jesus. But if you want to be like Jesus, there's some devils you ought to be destroying. Clearly carrying out and living out our God-assigned purpose, remaining determined to be locked in and totally focused even when the purpose seems overwhelming. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you locked in? Are you locked in? Come on, ask one more neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you locked in? When you locked in, having done all to stand, you stand. When you locked in, you don't care who walking away from you, you walking towards destiny. Are you locked in? Number two, seeing, understanding, and embracing the God-given dream for this time and for this season. Seeing, understanding, and embracing the God-given dream for this time and season. In Genesis 37 and 9, it says, and Joseph dreamed again another dream. When you are locked into purpose, when you're locked into, amen, what God has you for, every dream is for now new realms and new levels. You should be seeing and understanding, embracing. Had a dream the other day and I was walking out of a situation and I saw the devil. And the devil said, yep, it's me. And I said, yes, and it's me. Y'all didn't hear what I said. There was another season that I'd have been scared to death. I'd have tried to wake up out of my sleep. I'd have been getting up talking, Lord, is it here? No. He said, it's me in my dream. And I said, it's me. It is now time to be so locked in that the next level of the dream, it does not matter what we got to face. Doesn't matter what we got to face. If it's even the devil himself, you got the right one, maybe. I know that's strong. But I thought greater was he that is within us than he that is within the world. Seeing, understanding, embracing the God-given dreams for this time and this season. Seeing, understanding, and embracing the God-given dreams for this season. This last 21 days of fasting, we ought to understand what God is saying to us through dreams, whether open dreams or closed vision. What does it mean? How do you implement it? What do you do with it? All right? That's one of the great things about fasting. It gets out of being dreamed, being born by what you ate the night before. What does this dream mean? What does this dream mean? You dreamed it now, but what does it mean? When you, yeah, y'all hear me. I hear you, Holy Spirit. When you're locked into purpose, when you're living out purpose, there's not a whole lot of hapless dreaming. There's not a whole lot of just spacing out. Because our God is not a God of confusion. A lot of that dreaming, a lot of that spacing out is because the television show we watched. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing, but I'm gonna preach anyway. A lot of that dream, that came in where you thought about the wrong thing all day long. When you get locked in and fasting, when you get locked in purpose, when God show you a dream, you'll say, this is where I apply it. This is where this goes. And this is what, when I go over there and I got to wrestle with the beast of Ephesus. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what does that dream mean? What does that dream mean? What does that dream mean? If you're locked into purpose, if you're living out your purpose daily, that dream's going to tell you what you need to do in the next 7 days. That dream's going to tell you what you need to do in the next 2 weeks. When you get a chance, read Proverbs chapter 33, because he tells us why he gives us dreams. In Proverbs 33, he tells us, he said, I'm going to give you a dream so I can withdraw you from your purpose and bring you into mine. He let you close your eyes. He let you sit while your eyes was open because he's trying to bring you in to what he has for you. He's trying to give you a preview to a coming attraction. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? Clearly articulating, clearly living out the God-assigned purpose. If there's any word that I've heard over and over and over the last 6 months, is the word focus. Focus. How do I clearly articulate? How do I live out? Amen. How do I remain determined to live it out and walk it out? Focus. Somebody said to me real loud, focus, 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 focus. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, focus. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, focus. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Now, when you're laying down, when you get up, y'all better please hear me, because God trying to get us Joel 2 army. But the only way we're going to do it is we got to be focused. We can't be way over here tomorrow and way over there by the end of next week. We got to focus. A charge I have to keep and a God I have to glorify. I want to tell your neighbor, focus, 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 focus. Come on, nudge somebody, because I've never seen a generation that is so out of focus and they can't get, amen, one alignment and one goal. Amen. To nudge somebody, say focus, focus, focus. Come on, tell somebody, I'm going to keep shaking till you get really totally focused. And the lack of focus in the adults is now making us children shoot aimlessly all of their lives. Say that again, everybody plus 25. Our lack of focus when we begin to have children, it makes our children shoot aimlessly the rest of their lives. Because they ain't never seen us focus. But tell somebody everything about to change, everything about to change, everything about to change. I'm getting focused. This is what I'm here for. I'm getting focused. This is what I got to do. I'm getting focused. This is what I'm going to leave as a legacy. When you get this kind of focus, you don't do things because how you feel. I'm going to say that again. When you get focused, you don't wake up in the morning and talk about, I don't feel like it this morning. Because it ain't based on feeling. It's based on my focus and what he's charged me to do. God, I'm about done. About done. In the aftermath of the fast, and we ought to be clearly articulating our God's sign of purpose. Y'all, let's practice for a minute, all right? The person you're sitting by, tell them what is the purpose for you being on earth, all right? Tell somebody beside you what is the, because you're going to become an accountability part. What are you here for? You telling them? You telling them? What you here for? Sean Rogers was here. He asked us, what you come up in here for? We got to get some accountability partners, because too many of us are wandering aimlessly too long. And God's got something big on the inside of you, but it can't come out till you become focused. What are you here for? Come on, ask your name one more time. What are you here for? Please write it down. Please put it somewhere in your phone. 2 weeks from now, ask them, hey, what are you doing about your purpose? When you see them making a misstep, ask them, what you doing over there? You told me you was here for this. What in the world are you doing over there? And we got too many people over there. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but I'm going to keep preaching. We got too many people over there, but they said this is what they were here for. Y'all got some friends that you need to ask them this week, what you doing over there? What are you here for? What are you here for? Y'all please hear me, and I'm not aimlessly moving right now. You now got to be able to clearly articulate it. You got to be able to live it out whether you feel like it or not. You got to be able to live it out whether you got help or you ain't got no help at all. You got to be able to live it out whether you got a whole pocket full of money or you ain't got a dime to your name. Favor is powerful. You don't need money. All you need is favor. Favor brings money. Favor brings right relationships. Ask your neighbor one more time, and I'm about done. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what are you here for? What are you here for? I don't want you to spend another day aimlessly shooting in the dark. I want you to get some stability in your backbone. I want you to get some strides in your step, that this is what I'm here for, and I'm not dying until I accomplish what I'm here for. I'm not quitting until I see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you're not careful, and this is why we're going to the book of Exodus in the next couple days. If you're not careful, you will wander around the same mountain your whole life.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged. And please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.